What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
I'm Betty White. Listening to the Philip D. Blackman Show makes me moist. Grab your tissues and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show, the fastest hour in radio. Join us right here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Friends, get your minds right because we make no apologies for what you are about to hear.
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman. Happy Halloween, right? I mean, with tonight being Halloween, I recognize October 31 is the beginning of the holiday season. Although there's a lot of people that might want to wait until tomorrow, November 1, before making such a proclamation, but whatever you officially recognize as the start of holiday season, it's important to keep in mind that not everyone is excited for this time of year because it brings a lot of unwanted stress, anxiety, depression. Although it's not really diagnosable, they won't ever give you a diagnosable condition, there's this thing called holiday blues that affects roughly 64% of the people, according to a 2015 study from the National Alliance of Mental Health. So tonight, we're going to discuss this phenomenon in hopes that we can keep you on the right side of joy that you're desiring this season. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you so much for joining me. Let's go ahead and get some of this administrative stuff knocked out. So, hey, look, right now we are live on Facebook. We're live on Facebook. We're live on YouTube and, of course, LinkedIn at the Philip D. Blackman Show. Or if you're in the Twitter space or on Twitch, you can catch me at the PDB Show to stay up to date, but where you can always entertain and drop your comments in. Now, if you want to leave a comment, hey, social media is great options, or you can call or text the show at any time, 409-245-9753. Again, for my listeners on the radio, that's 409-245-9753. So to all my listeners across the nation, around the globe, thank you all so much for joining me this special Halloween edition, episode number 298, Mental Health Monday. We are talking holiday blues. So for my first-time listeners, you know, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch, and this is our way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year, 2021, we had 650 officers die in the line of duty, and as of this show, we're at 193. Now, we find these numbers by going to the Officer Down Memorial page, and that's where we find these stories. And, you know, it seems like every week that we do these, and Tammy, you know, she's the one who writes these End of Watch segments. You know, all the research that goes in, it's really heartbreaking when you hear and you see some of the stories that are happening. But if you ever go to the Officer Down Memorial page, odmp.org, you're going to see a quote. And that quote's very simple. When a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer. It's an entire nation. And with that, friends, we honor all of our officers who serve, and especially we highlight those who've given their lives in service to their community and their country. And we highlight a different officer beginning with the Monday show. Now, this week, friends, we're going to honor London, Kentucky Police Department's Officer Logan K. Metlock in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Greenville, Mississippi Police Department's investigator, Maisha Stewart, 30, who was shot and killed on October the 11th, 2022, during a vehicle pursuit. Greenville Mayor Eric Simmons said in a statement, "Maisha Stewart was one of those brave women. She was one of those who exhibited heart and courage. She was one who put fear aside to help someone else. In her final act, she leaves a legacy of duty, honor, strength, courage, and service. Miss Stewart is survived by her parents and a 3-year-old son. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackmon Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Investigator Stewart. Greenville Police Investigator Maisha Stewart. End of watch, October the 11th, 2022. Rest in peace, officer.
You know, when you do live radio, man, things happen. And we have the tendency, we make mistakes on every show. And I got to tell you, this is probably one of the first big ones I've made on my show. I just told you that we're going to be honoring London, Kentucky Police Officer Logan Medlock. And, man, I hit the wrong button, but instead of ending the video, because I do believe that all these officers do deserve to be recognized, they do deserve to be honored, and I felt that it would be disrespectful for me to stop the previous video with Officer Stewart. So let's get the correct officer this week.
The Philip D. Blackmon Show proudly salutes Officer Logan Medlock, 26, of the London Police Department in Kentucky, who was killed on October 30th, 2022, when his patrol car was struck by a drunk driver. Officer Medlock served his department with honor for 4 years. London Police Officer James Williams, who joined the academy with Officer Medlock, said in a statement, "He was always willing to help people. He was motivated and dedicated to protecting the public. Being a police officer is all he wanted to be, what he was meant to be." Officer Medlock is survived by his wife and son. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackmon Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Officer Medlock. London Police Officer Logan Medlock. End of watch, October 30th, 2022. Rest in peace, officer.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackmon. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Dear mainland, aloha. Now, we know you guys love Friday. You even thank the creator for it, TGIF. But why leave out Thursday? Maybe you call Thursday Little Friday. And be thankful for it, too.
Happy Little Friday.
It's Monday, brother.
Happy Teeny Tiny Friday.
One life, right?
Mahalo. Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
Well, that's right, friends. Happy Teeny Tiny Friday. What a Monday we have. Again, ladies and gentlemen, happy Halloween. You know, it is that time of year again. Time for pumpkin spice everything. Cozy flannel, fleece lining store shelves while it's still 80 degrees outside in Hardin County, Texas, marking really the kickoff of what we blandly refer to as the holiday season, with absolutely the weirdest holiday of all, Halloween. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Halloween. I mean, it's all about goofy fun, and it's best not taken too seriously. But it really is weird. I mean, not just because of the ghouls and the goblins and the all-of-an-offer-look fact that next to Christmas, Halloween's our most commercially profitable holiday. I mean, the strangeness that lies in the fact that this holiday, you know, more than any other, it reflects, I think it really reduces to caricature. If you really look into what's going on, I mean, what I love about Halloween is it's worth noting that although it's not a holiday, it technically is not a holiday. It really has no official recognition as such, and yet there's no paid time off. There's no payoff, no days mandated, and it's more celebrated. It's more really of a celebration that we choose to think of as a holiday. And it's really so deeply ingrained into our culture that the distinction holds very little relevance, but we still honor it for some reason. I mean, it should be acknowledged that really all holidays, they evolve over time. I mean, the ways we celebrate them, they're influenced by, you know, and they're very strong indicators of the prevailing social and political climate that we are in at any given time. But the reality is never more blatant. More superego barely keeping that in check than with Halloween. But first, a little refresher. I wanted to start this off because, you know, I'm a student by nature. I'm curious. I want to know the hows and the whys and the whats. I want to understand how we get to where we are each and every with each and every situation that I find myself in. And Halloween was kind of my thing, right? I wanted to do some research. And then when I read it, I was like, you know what? This is something I bet you a lot of people know. So if you think you understand, or if you think you know, in the chat, you know, let us know where you think Halloween comes from and the origins as I'm going through. But you know, as with a lot of traditions, Halloween, it borrows heavily from ancient pagan rituals. More notably, the Celtic festival of Samhain, right? You know, which really commemorated the coming of winter, and it was truly believed, marked at a time when the dead would actually return and walk among the living. So during the Samhain, people, they would light bonfires, they gather for feast, and you know, they wear costumes that were intended to ward off the scaries, the unfriendly spirits. In the 8th century, Pope Greg III, he designated November 1 as All Saints Day. And the night before, it became All Hallows Eve, which really folded in the same Sumerian traditions, right? So over the centuries, it incorporated other influences from the gunpowder plot in the 17th century Britain, tangibly known, is associated with masked children who were going door-to-door begging for treats, to even the Irish potato famine of the 19th century, where Irish immigrants brought their custom of carving faces onto turnips into America. But according to historians, Halloween started out in the United States somewhere around the 19th century when the Irish, they came to America bringing their celebrations, including All Saints Day, with them. Now, All Saints Day, it was a feast on the Catholic calendar. November 1 was the day on which you celebrate all the people who have gone to heaven. Now, the night before All Saints Day, people would hold vigils for the souls that hadn't quite made it there yet, who were trapped in purgatory. Now, in essence, it was the night to pray for the dead, and thus Halloween was born. There was a popular consensus that the Halloween that we celebrate today, it likely came about sometime between the Celtic Samhain celebration and All Saints Day, somewhere in between. But Halloween, it's been described in the United States going back as far as the 1870s, the best I can find, but it didn't really become popular until the early 1900s when retailers started making their money, like they do for Valentine's Day. It's a day for retailers to make money, selling decorations and costumes and postcards all in bulk. Now, according to the Oxford Dictionary, Halloween, it stems from All Hallows Eve, or at least until 1773, when the Scots began calling it Halloween. Now, Halloween, it also translates into Saint Evening in Scottish, First known person to put the words together was a Scottish poet, and his name was Robert Burns. And he penned the poem, Halloween, in 1786. But it brought up the question, okay, so there it is, but why candy? You know, out of all the things that we give, why candy? You know, I mean, fun costume parties and trick-or-treating, they become synonymous with Halloween, but that wasn't always the way. You know, for a lot of years, Halloween was a night where pranksters actually tricked unsuspecting people. By the 30s, the pranks escalated to the point where they were costing cities millions of dollars, kind of like in 2020. They were smashing light fixtures, setting fires, tripping people on sidewalks. In 1933, vandals did so much damage that it became known as Black Halloween. We're not going to go into there, but there's a lot of cities after that Black Halloween, that night of destruction, they considered actually banning the celebration altogether, and they decided to adopt a new tradition instead. So the United States, what they did in their infinite wisdom, they follow Canada's lead. And the idea seems to have been that if you offer treats, the kids, they're not going to go around playing tricks. The bottom line, trick or treat, it began as a bribe. Man, why have we really gotten away with that? I really think we need to expand that maybe to a bribe all around. I mean, it picked up speed in the U.S. in the 30s and the 40s, and the rest is, well, as you know, history. Halloween, it's an open invitation to dress up as someone or something else and just play pretend. Kind of like we're doing today, right? I mean, it's like year-round Halloween for some people. I mean, but where did Halloween costumes come from? You know, and we go back to the idea that wearing costumes, it comes from the Celts, you know, and we have no evidence whatsoever of that at all. I mean, it's very modern. I mean, the reason that we wear them is somewhat of a mystery, but I found in the 1920s that magazines started featuring kids draped in sheets pretending to be ghosts. But it is possible the costumes were worn well before then, but the 20s is the best that I could see here. They may have even linked to old Christmas tradition where costume children would perform plays for their neighbors in exchange for some kind of a treat. Kind of sounds like a modern-day Halloween, doesn't it? And the carving of jack-o'-lanterns, you know, as far as that tradition goes, it could be traced back to Ireland. And it's based on a story of a guy named Stingy Jack. And I found this in the Library of Congress. So Jack was a legendary trickster, I guess, like the, you know, probably like the Nordic Loki. There were hundreds of variants of the Jack folktales all over the world. But as it states, Jack was a drunk and deplorable person. He must have been a Trump voter. He cheated death three times, and each time he managed to trick the devil out of taking his soul. So when Jack finally died, he wasn't allowed into heaven, and the devil refused his entry to hell. So to light his way through the worlds of good and bad, Jack carried around a gourd with a glowing ember inside. Now, there's several different schools of thought regarding of how we started carving jack-o'-lanterns, but the tradition is thought to have started when the Irish started carving faces into turnips to ward off evil spirits. Now, once the Irish came to America, they found that pumpkins were much easier to carve, apparently, and over time, people came up with clever ways to carve them in an effort to continue to ward off the evil spirits come Halloween. Now, it's fair to say, I guess, that from jack-o'-lanterns to trick-or-treating, that it's a modern smorgasbord of practices of historical roots, yet it's also about who we are today. I mean, in our version of Halloween, we give the highest priority to costumes. And these costumes, they provide a palpable barometer of public interest at any given time. If you just watch and pay attention, a decade ago, for instance, one of the most popular Halloween costumes was that of the performer Psy. Now, those of you who may remember about a decade ago, Psy was the singer of Gangnam Style, and everybody and their mother wanted to do that stupid-ass dance. I guess that was something like the electric slide. It gave people the belief that maybe they could dance because they could pull that off. I don't know which way we go with it. But then if you go back just a little bit, you know, if you come forward 10 years earlier to that, we were the height of the Harry Potter phenomenon, you know, and of course, wizard robes and lightning stickers for the foreheads were everywhere. Then the first Halloween after the release of the movie Frozen, Man, it saw lots of little girls dress as characters from the hit animated film who learned about female empowerment from the song Let It Go. Now, even the old chestnuts, the witches and the ghouls and the vampires and such, they still exist, and they tend to present in ways that offer a snapshot in time. This year, for instance, I've seen them on the shelves, costumes based on the new characters from Hocus Pocus 2 or Wanda Maximoff from Marvel superhero movies and television shows, you know. But adult costumes, they're clever, especially when we're getting into politics and pop culture. They reveal these cringeworthy aspects of our society with an ambiguous, sexy costume trend that we adopted at some point. But it's odd enough to dress up as a Playboy bunny, right? I mean, so much for female empowerment. But the use of everyday occupations like nurses and cops and maids and plumbers and teachers, we use them for inspiration of trashy get-ups that has really taken this completely to another level. Now, sure, some of the other costumes, they're trying for humor, but after we saw the abuse scandals within the Catholic Church, I don't really believe that having a sexy nun or a sexy priest contest is going to get the same laughs, but those aren't even the weirdest. In case you missed it, one of the most heavily promoted costumes last year, and last Halloween, was that they called it the Sexy Bernie Sanders. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're listening to me on the radio, go Google the Sexy Bernie Sanders Halloween costume, and you'll see it right there. People are so funny, man. So the costume, it comes with it looks like we got a gray coat, we got some cozy mittens, a face mask, but no chair. And the reason why no chair is an issue for me is because you can get that coat and those mittens and a face mask for about $85 a hit. I'm not kidding. But of course, really, Halloween, it is, it's more about scares. It's not just a pretend kind. I mean, since 2020, COVID-19's put us in the damper of our Halloween celebrations, and we're still recovering. Another measure that we've had to seriously rethink about the wisdom of letting kids knock on doors and shove their hands into communal candy bowls, right? COVID. You know, and this year's likely going to see a loosening of a lot of these precautions. But I've noticed there's been a palpable relief of the prospect of a bit more fun after some hard times. I mean, after everything that we've gone through just since 2020, you know, it's time to let our hair down a little bit. But another worry has begun to surface here for this Halloween season. And you know, a lot of you probably have your kids out right now. But alarmed by these media reports, you know, some parents, they're actually concerned about this idea of rainbow fentanyl. You know, these bright multicolored pills, I've shown them on my show, and they contain, you know, the synthetic opioid fentanyl. And they're afraid that there's going to be fentanyl that's going to be slipped into Halloween candy. Now, look, the cautiousness, it's understandable. I get it. Parents should be aware that similar fears also happened in our past. I mean, from razor blades and apples to poison candy bars, I mean, they've really had very little, if any, basis in reality. But sadly, there's so much scaremongering is just as ingrained in our Halloween myth as demons and ghosts. I mean, whether you love Halloween or not, and I think most of us do, it's all part of the weirdness that really absorbs us before we move on to the other spirits of the season. Those of gratitude, of love, and charity. So I wanted to start tonight's show with, you know, just a little history lesson to get you out there with your little ones tonight. But so for those of you that are going trick-or-treating, guys, stay safe. Enjoy your evening. I'd love for you to come back and check out the rest of the show as we get into the holiday blues. But I want to take a quick break, and we're going to begin our show for tonight.
Waking up, getting out of bed isn't as easy as when you're, you know, an 18-year-old. That's just another challenge, you know. I want to be remembered as someone that had a go, tried his hardest, gave his best, but also made mistakes. But as a result of those mistakes, became a better sportsman. But not just a sportsman, a better person as well. Had some highs and lows, but definitely learned from everything, and it's definitely made me the sportsman I am today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so with that arrival of Halloween, I think it's fair to say we're officially in the holiday season of giving and togetherness. Thank you for joining me for this Monday evening, episode 298, Mental Health Monday, Holiday Blues. 409-245-9753 is the number on my screen if you want to call or text or put your comments in the social media platforms, and I'll see them all here. You know, to a lot of people, this day, Halloween, it represents the idea of it begins the season, I should say, the idea of brotherhood and sisterhood, fellowship, friends, family. You know, a moment to step away from the normal hustle and bustle of everyday life and celebrate with those you love most. You know, for the rest, though, who don't look at the beginning of the holiday season, they're stuck in a perpetual cycle of stress, anxiety, and even depression because the holidays represent something very dark and sad. And it's that latter group is the reason why I'm doing this show tonight and is what I want to discuss for this segment, The Breakdown. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the official start of the holiday season, right? That whirlwind of gift giving and holidays and marketing blitzes, holiday parties, activities galore that really begins right after Halloween. Now, again, I argue that it begins tonight, you know, and it builds into Thanksgiving and continues to gain momentum through the end of the year where we get to New Year's Day. Now, while this season's really meant to bring feelings of love and joy and cheer, it's also the harbinger of holiday stress for a lot of us. I mean, in fact, according to a poll conducted, more than 80% of us, we find the holiday season to be somewhat or very stressful. And that ranks right about there, right up there with asking your boss for a raise. That should give you an idea of the stress that it brings for about 80% of the population. I mean, what is it that has us all so hot and bothered? I mean, I got a few ideas. I mean, you know, all things in moderation, as the saying goes. The problem with the holiday season is that, man, we often experience just too much of a good thing. And I really believe that too much of a anything is bad, even if it is a good thing. I mean, while stress itself, it's necessary for our survival and the zest for life. You know, researchers, they call this type of stress eustress, which not Y-O-U, but E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. And what that is too much stress that has a negative impact on our health, both mental and physical. You know, there's too many activities, even if they are fun activities, that culminate in too much holiday stress, and they leave us feeling frazzled, really, rather than fulfilled. You know, Tammy in the chat, she hits it right here, and I think this is, and I'm glad, you know, timing has everything to do with the success of a rain dance, and I swear, me and Tammy, we don't rehearse our shows, but she hits this almost perfectly because she's kind of picking that brain. She says right here in the chat that Christmas feels different since my grandmother passed on Christmas Day 1997. I think about it every year, and I remember what I felt like. And I also remember Tammy telling me this story and telling me all the emotions and the feelings that went along with that day. And that right there, you know, just 1997. God, how long ago was that? Well, the late last century, Tammy. You're old, apparently. But the idea is it still leaves a lasting impact. You know, we have this overabundance of, we're expected to have this overabundance of parties and gift-giving occasions that lead a lot of people to eat, drink, be merry, often to excess. Because that's what's expected. Regardless of what they're feeling inside, that's what's expected, so they must do so. I mean, the temptation to overindulge in spending, rich desserts, alcohol, it can cause a lot of people the lasting stress of dealing with the consequences, the debt, the weight gain, the memories of the embarrassing conversations or behavior that you probably wouldn't have normally done. And these things are things that can actually linger on long after a season's over, especially in this case here where Tammy hits it. Tammy says, you know, I mean, with the loss of her grandmother, I mean, that's a day that's coupled. So, I mean, something that is outside, what I'm talking about is what's inside our control. But here, it's what's outside the control that Tammy's talking about. And I think that's very important that we really should pay attention. I mean, I believe that in these more difficult financial times that we're here in this, we're having right now, you know, finding affordable gifts, that can be stressful in itself. I mean, can you imagine every other year prior to this year, you've been able to, you know, I don't want to say you've been able to go crazy, but you've been able to enjoy buying lots of gifts for your family. But because everything has, guys, today I bought two windshield wipers for my truck. I mean, regular windshield wipers, $37 a piece. I mean, man, I remember when I could get two pair for $37 total. It's amazing. The price of everything is just, it's outrageous. And that stresses people out. You know, they create holiday debt, which of course is a tradition that too many people unwittingly bring upon themselves. And there's more stress that comes with it that lasts for months until we're caught up and we're paid off. You know, the holidays, they're supposed to be a time when extended families, they tend to gather. I mean, while this can be a wonderful thing for a lot of people, even the most close-knit families, they can overdose on togetherness. And it makes it really hard for family members to maintain a healthy balance between bonding and their alone time. I mean, a lot of families, they have roles that each member has to fall into, you know, that they have more to do each year with individuals, you know, used to be rather than really who they are or what they do today, which can sometimes bring more dread than love for the gatherings when you get tasked with more, right? It's part of the responsibility of getting older. Who wants that? I mean, it can be a tough time for a lot of people in our country, and especially those who've lost partners or parents or family members. It reminds them of their loneliness. I mean, as the world seems to be gathering a family, those who rely on more friends for support, they can begin to feel deserted and alone because they don't have family to go to. Laura Harlow here says in the chat, she says, it's going to be weird this year for me too, Tammy. Pop died on the 21st last year and was still in shock. This year, we aren't doing anything around him as in the past. It's all going to be weird. You know, this is our first year of, you know, for me, this is our first year of having, you know, after my dad passed at the start of this year. I mean, the year of first makes it really hard for a lot of people. Lauren goes on to say that we all kind of decided we're going to do a lot of video chatting. And I think that's, you know, at least you're getting some type of togetherness, and that's important. You know, just, you know, take it to, don't OD on the togetherness, right? I mean, as the world seems to be gathering with their family, you know, I mean, again, those who we've lost loved ones are mourning. I mean, even if you're around other ones, you're still yearning for the one that's not there. I mean, and often I argue that unrecognized problem, especially when it comes with the holiday season, is actually a byproduct of the seasons changing from fall to winter. I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but again, damn, Tammy says that don't forget people experience the winter sad. It's going through the blues with the change of the seasons. People can't control that. Again, Tammy, great timing, because that was where I was talking about. You know, daylight, as the daylight's diminishing, the weather causes a lot of us to spend a lot more time indoors. I mean, people, they're affected to some degree by a type of depression known as what Tammy's saying here, the winter sad. SAD stands for seasonal affective disorder. I mean, it's very subtle, but it's a very real condition that can truly cast a shadow over a whole season and be a source of stress and unhappiness during a time that people, they're expected to feel just the opposite. They're expected to feel great and good. It's holiday, Merry Christmas, yada, right? But what about these people? You know, we got to take those people into consideration, the seasonal affective disorder folks. You know, holiday blues, you know, what I'm talking about. The holiday blues, they're a set of symptoms that they include depression, they include anxiety, and they occur specifically during the holiday season. Now, the holiday blues, they're usually distinguished from a full clinical psychiatric diagnosis like a major depressive disorder or even generalized anxiety or just seasonal affective disorder, which really have specific diagnostic criteria in time or in terms of the type and the duration. However, holiday blues, this is something that can cause some of the symptoms that can be seen in a lot of these medical disorders. I mean, the symptoms of depression and irritability and fatigue, feelings of worthlessness and guilt and anxiety, worry, a loss of interest in hobbies, changes in your appetite, weight loss or weight gain, sleep, difficulty concentrating, thoughts of harming yourself or thoughts of harming someone else. These holiday blues, they're a real phenomenon that we should be paying attention to, but they're likely to have a different effect than you may actually think. I mean, while the data is limited, I mean, there is some evidence about the causes and consequences of the holiday blues. For starters, there is a lot of solid evidence, despite long-held beliefs and often erroneous media coverage, because it happens a lot. They say that there's strong evidence that the suicide rate in the United States, it does not spike around the holidays, contrary to popular belief. According to the U.S. Center for Health and Statistics, the suicide rate in our nation is highest between April and August. Consequently, the months of November, December, and January, the holiday season, studies have proven that they actually have the lowest daily suicide rates. But low suicide rates don't necessarily mean the holiday blues are not a real phenomenon. It's not really impacting people. Just because I'm saying it's not the highest, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not relevant. It's not a real issue. I mean, while there's no systematic reviews about the increase of mental health problems around the holidays, there are a lot of findings from surveys that suggest people generally feel more stress, more anxiety, and more depression between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day. You know, one study by the American Psychological Association, the APA, that's where we do a lot of our studying from, is the APA, reading their research, reading their papers, reading their reports. And I was reading this morning preparing for this show, and the APA actually uncovered some interesting data about the holiday blues. One of the first things they found was that while the majority of people in the survey reported feelings of happiness and love and high spirits over the holiday, those emotions, they were often accompanied by feelings of fatigue, stress, and irritability, bloating, and sadness. So although they have all these good things, they can still have these bad things. Two things can be right at the same time. The study also found that 38% of the people surveyed said that their stress level, it increased in the holiday season. Imagine that. Participants listed the top stressors as a lack of time, a lack of money, commercialism, the pressures of gift giving and family gatherings. There's so many expectations that go into the holiday season that people are just, they're exhausted trying to set their mental states, trying to prepare for it. But crazy enough, out of this study, 56% of the respondents reported that they experienced the most amount of stress in their life happened to be at work. Only 29% of the people polled or studied experienced greater or less amounts of stress at home. Well, I was wondering where she'd show up. Well, this is Becky Ballard. This is my mother. She says that in the chat, she said, it's real. It's hard on single parents. Widows, yes, you're depressed all year, but it's harder during those months because you're trying to be happy for everyone. Well, and that's the problem right there. We should never, and this is kind of why we're talking about this show tonight, we should never, ever feel like we shouldn't expect ourselves to put on a happy face for everyone else. Your happiness is not for everyone else. Your happiness is yours. Like I used to tell people all the time, man, it's a party in my head, and you know, piss off if you don't feel like you're invited, because my happiness is mine. I'm not going to let somebody else dictate it. And if I don't feel like being happy, then I'm not going to let somebody else dictate my emotions. This is where you owning your emotions, you have to say, look, this ain't the year for me. I'm not celebrating Christmas. I'm not celebrating Thanksgiving. I'm going fishing. I'm going to go ride my horse. I'm going to do whatever I want to do because, you know, y'all celebrate your holidays your way. I'll celebrate it my way. Now, another poll of more than 1,000 adults by the Principal Financial Group, which is a global investment company, they found about 53% of people experience financial stress because of holiday spending, despite the fact that more than half set budgets for their holiday spending. Very rarely do people have their own Christmas fund set up. I mean, while the data suggests the daily blues are a real phenomenon, it's truly important to note that there is no systematic reviews or no randomized controlled trials about mental health problems during the holiday season. As much as I tried to find them, they just don't exist. But there is some preliminary data that indicates that it's a good topic for future research, especially since we know that this is something that truly happens. But on a final note, there is a difference, and I want to make sure we hit that distinction between the holiday blues, which typically go away when the holiday season ends, and more of a severe depression, which lasts longer and it interferes with our daily lives, our activities. I mean, if the holiday season comes and goes and you're still feeling depressed or you're still feeling anxious, man, reach out to a mental health professional. You know, the holidays are hard for a lot of us because the season focuses on togetherness and joy, and it can resurface or even exacerbate uncomfortable feelings that we've been managing or struggling throughout the whole year. You know, there's a lot of festivities that they serve to magnify our stress and our emotions and our difficulties. That's why the holiday blues, they can be so challenging for so many of us. We might be extra stressed out about the complex family dynamics or finances, or we might be going through a deep grief for a loved one we've lost. Or even maybe we're dealing with a heartbreak over a recent breakup. So many reasons that exist for us to have it. I mean, perhaps we're alone for the holidays and we're feeling isolated. But whatever your reason, the holiday blues, they can feel painfully real to a lot of people, regardless if it's in the diagnostic statistical manual or not. And while the commercial culture that surrounds us, it may make it seem unusual to feel less than merry, and they do. You know, it doesn't really reflect how a majority of people actually experience this season. According to that 2015 survey I was telling you about in the intro, 64% of people say they're affected by the holiday blues. 24% say they're highly affected. I mean, for those of us that can relate, it may feel frustrating or even overwhelming for emotions to swell during the time of the bustling fall and the winter months. Rather than trying to put on a happy face, man, we can always turn to meditation, mindfulness. Help us sit with our own discomfort. Learn to navigate and manage through it. Because putting on a happy face and pretending, it's doing no one any good. Pain demands to be felt, and you must take a moment to feel it. You don't have to live there, but take your moment. I mean, it might sound counterintuitive when I tell you this, especially during the holidays, but leaning into our feelings, learning to acknowledge them without getting caught up in them, that's probably one of the best ways to bring a little light to your shadowy holiday season. And what causes the holiday blues, it's very personal for a lot of us. Yeah, I read an early paper on the topic that there are three thought to be common triggers. The season's social demands, biological stressors, and unmet expectations. These are three things. And I mean, even though this is really very relevant for our day-to-day lives, those three triggers kind of make it worse for us. I mean, it might be unable to avoid any of those triggers. I mean, we can ease into the holiday blues whenever they may occur with just a simple techniques grounded in mindfulness, meditation, listen to your inner self. When we feel sad, it can be very lonely. I understand. It'd be a very lonely place. It'd be very isolating. And so we feel stuck. I mean, it can be frustrating. Because you don't want to be that way. You're just there. You know, we don't want to feel that way. And we feel, you know, yet as though it's just, we just can't help it. And when we experience these emotions, we look for a distraction or we try to bury them deep down inside. And it's understandable why we'd want to escape these challenging emotions. But these emotions, they're going to catch up with you at some point. You might as well deal with them now. So if we learn how to navigate them in a more productive and mindful way, do you think we can navigate this holiday season? You know, again, I'm saying holiday season begins tonight. Everybody else says tomorrow. But I want to hit those three triggers before I take my break. You know, the season's social demands. We understand, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, this time of year, it begins to be jam-packed with get-togethers and parties and other social obligations because that's what happens in the holidays. If these occasions are bringing you these feelings of anxiety and stress, sadness, then like I tell people, you know, managing PTSD, you know, recognize that trigger, right? Be aware. Think of what's going to happen ahead of time. And it'll allow us to set up and establish our clear-cut boundaries, what we're not going to allow people to walk over. I mean, this might even mean that you're going to have to disinvite yourselves from some invitations without guilt because you need to work on you. The holidays is about family. If you want to be around them, I don't know about you guys, but I have a bunch of assholes in my family that I wouldn't care. I mean, I would be offended if someone asked me to spend time with one of those, right? Ladies and gentlemen, don't let somebody tell you that you have to behave a certain way. I mean, because for us, we, you know, what's important is we have to take time. We have to build some downtime into our holiday calendar, you know, provides us with dedicated time to truly reset, recharge before giving in to any other social demands. You know, mindfulness in that context, it's understanding your own needs. Take care of you first. Don't try to be someone else's. Don't try to be there for someone else if you're having a hard time this holiday season. Take time, take a knee, and take care of yourself. Take care of your own needs. Then, once you feel like you got a good grasp on you, then you can go ahead and step out there and take steps to protect our space and our best interests. Because at the end of the day, I'm sorry, I hate to sound like a Scrooge, but at the end of the day, it's about YOU and how you feel, because nobody's walking in your shoes or feeling your skin but you. Which brings me into talking about your skin, the biological stressors that's going on. I mean, it's a season that's centered around giving. And as a result, we put our well-being last. We want to take care of everyone else. We want to make everybody else smile. Kind of going back up here to what my mother said, you know, Becky Ballard says that, you know, because you're trying to be happy for everyone. But I mean, I guess the question I have, if I was to retort back, if you were sitting across from me, I ask you, you know, how can we show up for other people if we're not showing up for ourselves? I mean, if we can find the holiday blues are often triggered by feeling mentally or physically exhausted, I mean, we might try implementing, I don't know, maybe a small act of self-care into our routine, take care of us. I mean, if sleep is a struggle at this time of year for a lot of us, right here included, maybe we need to turn our attention to improving our sleep hygiene. You know, give to yourself. I love that. Give to yourself. Pay attention to yourself, especially your sleep hygiene. What are you doing? I don't know. Maybe here's some ideas. You know, look, I had someone when I was going through a mental health training, for mental health first aid. They said the bedroom is only for two things: for sleeping and for sex. Not for watching TV or reading a book or going through your phone. When you put yourself into bed, if you're not doing one of the things, you should be doing the other thing. End of story. That's where you're maintaining your sleep hygiene. I mean, when we feel that our holiday stress is creeping into our lives, because it's going to, and maybe you know, depending on the level, it's going to determine whatever you've gone through this year. Everybody, remember I said it's very personal, it's very unique. When we feel it creeping in, maybe we make it a priority to just take a 10-minute break every day just to meditate. Or say, hey, no matter what's going on at noon, I'm going to go take a knee somewhere, right? Schedule that time and hold yourself to it. You know, I keep saying meditation because it gives you a chance to retreat into your mind and your psyche and breathe and just calm and just think about nothing. Let the mind relax. And if we feel like that we're on the precipice of a holiday burnout, because it does happen, we could actually start to practice asking for help. That's a hard thing for a lot of people, to ask for help from a loved one or a friend. You know, the merriment of the season, it's impacted how a lot of people consume alcohol. I mean, while attending gatherings or gathering after gathering after gathering with, you know, drinking during the holidays, it can become very excessive, just like our enjoyment of foods and fatty cakes and treats. And there's no question that this type of behavior also increases our biological stress. So to manage it, it's one of those things we got to apply the principles of mindfulness to what we choose to eat, what we choose to put in our not just our faces, but in our minds and our hearts. Be aware of what's going on in our plates and in our cups. Engage the senses with each bite and sip. Enjoy every moment. Stay in tune with how full or fulfilled that you feel. I mean, look, we're working on you know, I told Tammy we spent 43 years working on our before picture. We're working on our after now. I mean, I understand, you know, that mindful eating, you know, being aware that the awareness can, you know, it can help us enjoy that judgment-free night of cold whiskey and cookies, you know, if that's what you're leaving for Santa, and knowing that the body's going to need something nourishing to help it stay healthy. But stay active. no matter what you do, no matter how you feel, force yourself to stay some kind of active to manage that biological stress along with a lot of others. So Ms. Ballard says, there's always, always someone worse off. I had to learn that. Sit down and look around. Man, I'm telling you. There's always going to be someone who's having a harder time than you. But don't concern yourself with how everyone else is feeling. Concern yourself with how you're feeling. I mean, I think maybe I'm reaching here, but maybe you're talking about, you know, be grateful that what you have going on is all you have going on because it could be worse. But don't minimize what you're going through because that's where we kind of start to fail ourselves because we go, well, there's people that have it worse off of me and I'm just being a tit bag because I'm, you know, crying about this, that, or the other. No, negative. Your weight, your emotional baggage, what you're carrying in your heart, in your head, on your back, that is for you to carry. And if it's heavy, it's heavy. Same question is, you know, 135 pounds is 135 pounds. I can pick it up and throw it around and do whatever I want to with it, but 135 pounds might crush your pelvis. Does that mean that you know, because I can handle it and you can't, that you're weak? No, it doesn't. Just means the same weight affects us all. So don't worry about the race that I'm running. Don't worry about the weight that I'm carrying. Worry about the weight that you're carrying and take solace and understanding and be forgiving with yourself. Because one of the worst things that we ever do, and this is kind of the third trigger that I want to hit on, the unmet expectations. You know, this is big for a lot of us because throughout the holiday season, we're constantly managing expectations, our expectations as well as the expectations of people all around us. I mean, maybe we feel pressured to keep a family tradition alive like another family did before us, or where we feel the need to create a holiday feast as lavish as what's pictured in the movies. Or maybe we just simply have an idea of how a certain event would go. You know, the kids are going to love meeting Santa, and it ended absolutely different. The kids screamed their head off when they sat on Santa's knee. That's actually quite funny to watch in them all, but when it's attached to expectations, we understandably feel disappointed when our expectations aren't met. And for a lot of us, the expectations, the standards that we set for ourselves, we bullshit ourselves into believing they're set in stone. But it's important, friends, to remember that at one point, expectations, they start off as nothing more than just a thought. And then we developed it. We cultivated it. And we turned it into something much bigger than what it really originally was. Maybe it doesn't even really reflect exactly how you honestly feel or what's happening in the world around you. The storyline in our mind is often very different from the reality that we're experiencing. If the holiday blues have paid you a visit, I want you to remember this. This is a brief period in your life over the course of an entire year. And soon, all the hubbub's going to pass and life is going to resume as usual. So what I want to tell you is, man, treat yourself with kindness. Go for walks. Improve your dopamine levels. Eat healthy foods. Boost your nutritional intake. Use healthy mindfulness practices, meditation, prayer, deep breathing. Stay grounded. You're worth it. This moment that you're going through right now, this is just a moment in time, and I promise you it'll get better. Guys, that is the breakdown. Stick around for this 90-second commercial break.
Oh, look, Dave from accounts is back at work. He's been off for ages with some kind of mental illness. That's an awkward one. Should I say anything? I don't know how I react.
All right, Dave. Good to see you back, mate. How you feeling?
How am I feeling?
Hang on, it's got to take this call.
Hi, yeah! Got some idiot here who's just asked me how I'm feeling!
How am I feeling?
How am I feeling?
Sorry, I'm just off home because I'm a bit late for dinner.
Okay.
All right. See you later.
How am I feeling? Pretty good, thanks. Yeah.
Good days and bad days, but yeah, glad to be back at work. Cheers for asking.
No worries.
How are things with you?
Yeah, great. Can't complain.
Yeah.
I've been busy as always.
I can't breathe. I have migraines, numbness, weight loss. I live with it every day. The illness that I'm suffering from is an anxiety disorder, and it deserves to be treated like any other illness. But it's not.
All right, welcome back, friends. Episode 298, Mental Health Monday, Holiday Blues, 409-245-9753. To all my listeners across the radio waves, guys, thank you for joining me on Raw Talk on IPM Pulse Talk, guys. Thank you so much. The rest of you guys on social media, guys, thank you for joining me. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for joining me. You know, along with the and Dale, of course, sir, it's always a pleasure seeing you. Excellent breakdown, man. Guys, we're going to – no, I don't want to spoil it. I'll get back to it. You know, along with all the other cheer and excitement of the holidays, stress, expectations, and obligations, they often follow. And it's with this year's holiday season that's bringing up all these new stressors, you know, and you may need to refresh your course on the strategies to prevent your holiday blues. So, you may be familiar with the holiday blues. You know, you're supposed to be preparing for a happy family gathering, and instead you're fretting over the stain on the tablecloth and whatever your mother-in-law is going to complain about. I mean, after shopping for gifts for hours on end, you're going to fall into your sofa exhausted, discouraged, spent. I mean, you're dealing with spending time with relatives and friends who remind you of what you don't have anymore in your life. In the end, you're going to find yourself either emotionally or really literally just curled up into a ball waiting for the season to be over. But unfortunately, this year, you may feel even worse. You know, you've been cooped up with your partner and your children for months, and tensions are high, and traveling to see your family, and, you know, they may be out of the question, you know, which throws a wrench in your holiday tradition, and your distress and your fatigue, you begin to think this isn't the holidays. This isn't what they're about, and it doesn't have to be. You know, there are ways to prevent the holiday blues to get you back in the joy season, so with that in mind, I want to cover it in one final thing. You know, beyond being an emotional drain, you know, the holidays, man, they can be a real drain on your pocketbook, you know, and especially here we are, 8.2% inflation. You guys understand it. I heard a statistic today that the average person is spending $7,200 more on goods and services than they did last year. So you get it. You know, you may start to feel the pressure from your children or your family members to buy more, buy bigger, buy lavish gifts. You know, the media encourages you that and pressure that reminds you that of what you just don't have yet. It guilts you into buying the newest, most high-tech, most fashionable, what's the new one out? What, iPhone 93? I mean, they got so many of them, right? In the end, you feel down. You feel dissatisfied. You may be afraid for the state of your finances, but What does it mean when you're facing Christmas without the money to celebrate as you'd like, you know, or the loving family that it seems that other people have, or the spouse that you loved but's now gone? Can you do anything about the holiday blues? Yeah, you know, I think it's up to you. I mean, the most important thing is really to make a conscious choice about how you're going to respond as we enter into this holiday season. I mean, you can't change the dysfunctional family that you come from, but you can choose how much time you spend with them right now. Now, here at the Blackman household, we got easy answers for that. You know, but you can't erase the loss of a loved one who's gone. You just can't. But I tend to argue that you can celebrate old memories and maybe even make some meaningful new ones. You always have choices. You know, I mean, we all have practical suggestions for getting the holidays without really succumbing to the blues. And I think the first one that I'm going to tell everybody is take care of your body, man. I mean, our integrated human nature, it means that our physical well-being, it affects our emotional and our spiritual well-being. Move, get some exercise, release those positive. Your body comes with great chemicals. You don't have to buy them. The best chemicals on the planet you already possess. You just got to get them moving by getting your body moving. Limit that holiday junk food and that drink until that you take into your body. Get rest. Take care of yourselves. You're going to feel better. You know, as someone who lives in pain, one thing that I can tell you right now is that even being in a lot of pain, it's a little bit easier when I'm happy in my life. You know, going for walks or lifting dumbbells or mowing or whatever you know that we can possibly do. Those good feelings are going to make you happy. Doesn't make your pain go away, but it makes the pain more easy to deal with. Yeah, I think sometimes, though, we really have to limit ourselves and be just deliberate, be stubborn, say no. You don't have to say yes to everything. You don't have to buy a gift for everybody on your list. You don't have to attend every holiday event that you're invited to. You don't have to decorate every inch of your home. You don't have to do anything but stay what you are and pay taxes. Here's an example. My name's Philip Blackman. I don't have to do shit but stay white and pay taxes. Now, not everybody can say that. I tend to argue that my brother Dale, he can't say that, but he can use a variant, and that's what it is. I mean, choose the most important people in your life, the most important events, the most traditions that you want to make part of your Christmas, and just let the rest of it go. I promise the new year is still going to show up, even if you miss the holiday part. It's going to happen. But you need to choose the people that you invest your energy in. There's a lot of people among your family and friends who just only add to your frustration, who add to your pain, who add to your unhappiness. Fine. Give them an hour, if necessary, but not days of your time, not days of your energy. Surround yourself with people who lift you up simply by being in their presence. Maximize that time and that effort that you invest in these relationships. Find the people who are energy givers, not energy takers. Energy givers are people that you know when you get in their presence, you are going to feel better about you and your situation. If you don't know what that feeling is, then you've never been to Walmart at 2 a.m., but I digress. Be around people who are excited to be around you. Be around people that you're excited to be around. It has to be a two-way street. Don't be around the energy thieves, those people that when you think their name or you see their face, you're like, what now? Even if they're smiling, you're like, man, all right, they're smiling, but I'll give them 32 seconds before they turn to something negative. Get away from those people this holiday season. Give yourself a break. A lot of you guys take social media breaks. Give yourselves personal socialization breaks as well. If you're going through these moments, and I don't know if my mother's still here or not in the show, but if you're someone who's mourning the loss of someone, you know, this holiday season, you know, one thing that I'll tell you that I truly believe is this is the perfect year to make some new memories. You know, the painful memories, they're a huge part of our holiday blues. They exist. And, you know, embrace those memories that are important to you and then move on. You have to choose to make some new and meaningful memories that are made on your terms. Go buy some new Christmas decorations or learn a new Christmas song. Learn some dirty Christmas songs. Go to a Christmas program this year. Find that schools are hosting them like crazy this year. Go on the internet, go on the paper, whatever venue floats your boat, and find out what pageants, you know, what Christmas or holiday gatherings are going on, and go and just be around it. Make some new memories. Do something this year that you've never done before. Focus on giving. Not so much as how much you can give to everyone else, but how much you can give to yourself. I mean, there's little that's going to lift your spirits more than helping someone else. But again, charity starts at home. You know, there's always someone in worse need than you, back to an earlier point a while ago. Find that person. Find those people. Do something for someone who cannot possibly repay you. Volunteer. Do something bigger than you. Truly make that moment about them. And crazy enough, you're going to find that if you have that energy to care for yourself and then to step out there and care for someone else, you're going to find that your own spirits are going to lift as well. But the big one, and this one usually sets people off, and I don't care because this is the Philip D. Blackman Show, and I'm going to voice my opinion on this. But the one that I'm going to tell a lot of people who's struggling, give God your memories. Give God your expectations. You know, let God have your past and your present and your future. You know, use this holiday season as an opportunity to spend more time walking with the Lord. You know, and if you don't walk with the Lord, if you're not a believer, then spend time to walk in your chi or your aura or your life force, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But as a Christian, I'm going to say talk to God about finding that new level of healing. that he has available and learn a new dimension of the future that he has in store for us. If you believe that fate guides your course, then you rework that however you need to make it sense for you. But it's time to make some thoughtful plans. Limit your vulnerability. Limit the holiday blues. You know, this world, we can't expect any season to provide some unmixed joy. But we can choose to focus on and maximize how we celebrate those things in our life that are good. You know, traditions, they feel good because they're familiar to us. You know, they reassure us that the world is safe and there's something that we can count on. You know, all the changes in our lives and our routines and our traditions, you know, this year especially, it may be helpful to create a new holiday tradition. You know, I think if you've experienced a loss in your life, you know, you might place a candle on your table for your loved one. I learned that from my wife. The first time I saw it, I was, you know, internally, I was like, well, that's weird. You know, and look, that statement was based out of pure ignorance. I had no idea what my love was talking about when she would say that, or when she'd light a candle for someone gone. And then when grief showed up at my front door, we did it. And it made so much sense for me then at that point. I'm not going to say lighting a candle for a loved one that's on the other side is going to make everything better, but it was a very different way that I learned from my wife. Growing up, you know, she's a Hispanic woman, so her family traditions, you know, they've kind of become our family traditions. You know, I try to embrace them and try to learn them, and it has made a difference for me. I can't thank her enough for that. But if that's too deep for you, you know, maybe create some kind of ornament, you know, for a child you lost in a miscarriage, you know, or if your family struggle with conflict, create a tradition that switches it up. You know, put your Christmas tree outside this year. You know, buy everyone matching ugly ass sweaters or pajamas, or wrap all your presents in hand painted wrapping paper. Be creative with yourself. If you're lonely, find company. I promise you, there is someone out there who's willing to listen. There's someone who's willing to hang out with you because you are a special person. They recognize it, and you do too. You know, and as I think it was Laura was talking about, or might have been Roxanne. Might be time for, you know, if you want to spend time with people, you know, maybe do it through a video chat. You know, that's okay. Video calls, or gathering in a backyard fire pit, whatever the case is, you know, when you've worked through these strategies to prevent your holiday blues, you know, you're going to find that the next set of holidays, they're just not quite as difficult because you've made it through the first. And before you know it, these prevention strategies, they're going to become your second nature. You'll have a good idea of what your triggers are, and you're going to know how to circumvent them or ride them out. But you have to take time to identify them. And once you identify them, that's the hard part. But once you do, man, you're off to the races. Limit and focus your mental and physical well-being. It's going to keep you energized. It's going to keep you positive. And it's going to be possible to find joy and excitement around the holidays again, I promise you. My phone, 409-245-9753, it rings whether I'm doing a show or not. I typically don't answer when I'm not doing a show, but leave me a voicemail. I promise you, I will get back to you because you are not alone in this world. And Tammy says here in the chat, she said, I'm happy the lighting of the candle speaks to you. And it did for me. And again, you know, I'm always learning something from that 5 feet of fury. But guys, take care of yourselves as we get into this holiday season. It's coming on 6 p.m. Central Time. So it's starting to get dark. So if you're going out Thanksgiving with your kids, guys, be safe, be careful, watch what your kids get, and you know if it looks funky, take it to the police station, guys. Oh yeah, and Dale, yes, she is 5 feet of fury. She is little bitty fun size, but man, she is mean as a copperhead. Well, guys, thank you so much. That's going to wrap it up for this holiday episode. I appreciate you tuning into the show that seeks not only to provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to the inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see. Holiday blues is a normal thing for a lot of people. 80% of us, according to studies, is showing that we all feel some kind of stress, so you're not alone. And that's the thing you need to understand. You're not alone. I don't care if you have family or not. You are not alone. You're part of the Philip D. Blackman Show. You're part of my circle, and anything that I can do to help, man, If you can't reach me on, and I get all my YouTube comments, or you can reach at me on Facebook, Instant Messenger, or you can text my show at the PDB show at Gmail. It's been scrolling down at the bottom of my show every show. But reach out if you're having a hard time this holiday season, guys. We'll do everything we can to make sure that you have a blessed and wonderful one as we step into it. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism. Thank you so much for our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like you. Thank you so much, because without all of you, this country would be a very, very different place. We're the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. And as always, friends, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet, and you continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, thank a veteran. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Take care of yourselves, friends. So this, so we're episode number 298. We are going to do our show on Wednesday, but Monday, episode number 300. I cannot believe we're at 300. So 300 is going to be a special episode. We're going to try to create a new look, new sound. I'm sorry, we can't change this ugly ass face. So you're going to have to stick with that. But guys, thank you so much. So catch me Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Guys, take care of yourselves. My name is Philip Blackman. Y'all have a safe and happy Halloween. And let's get this holiday season started off on the right note. My name is Philip Blackman, and I am out of here.